නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ. As you know, we were discussing Kajjaniya Sutta, which is available in Kanda Samyutta, in the Samyutta Nikaya, Connected Discourses of the Buddha. And last time, actually, we discussed about sannya, perceptions, and there are various questions, actually, the listeners have raised, and I am conducting very much similar sutta on Sundays. There again, I have discussed about the perceptions, and they too have raised certain questions. Their question is whether there is a connection between sannya and the memory. So therefore, I thought of discussing a little bit more on sannya and to find out is there any relevance between sannya and memory, and what exactly is memory, and what are the references to memory available in the various suttas, etc. Now, I have found various suttas and certain scholars' comments regarding this. That's what I have shared here. And some say the correct translation to sannya is not really the perception, but apperception. Now, apperception means a kind of a mental process by which a person makes sense of an idea by assimilating it to the body of ideas he or she already possesses. Now, we know when we go through some kind of an experience, certain amount of information being saved, being stored. Say, for example, if we see various things through our eyes, it is not the everything, but some part of that picture being stored in our memory. Similarly, when we hear certain sounds, certain amount of sounds will be stored in our memory. It is true for taste, smells, and then the tactile sensations, and what exactly we are mentally proliferate and think too much, and certain amount of those also go into the memory. Now, when we come across the same kind of thing at a later time, so there is a kind of a mapping happens. So that is where among so many already stored, saved ideas, saved information, so we quickly recognize, okay, this is what exactly has happened. But the interesting point is, this is not that simple. Recognition is fairly colored by our own views, fairly colored by our own preconceived ideas, our own likes and dislikes. And therefore, when we store data, we can't exactly say precisely what we have seen, what we have heard, cognized, precisely what we have experienced is what exactly being stored. So there is a kind of a discrepancy in this situation where based on our likes and dislikes, based on our subjective experience, actually we store data. So therefore, it is not exactly the precise thing, precise data what we have taken through our senses that is going to our memory, but kind of a distorted information being stored in our memory. And on the other hand, when we are retrieving that information at a later time, that is being fairly influenced by again that distorted views, that distorted ideas, our own likes and dislikes. So therefore, when we retrieve, sometimes we retrieve completely deformed data, completely changed data. It is not exactly the same thing that we have stored even. So you can see there are some discrepancies in this procedure, in the happening of the memory part. It is not merely the sannya which is going into the effect. So therefore, people are arguing what is the correct translation for sannya. So, and therefore, on the other hand, we can even see there is a kind of a memory component related to sannya as well, because that memory component helps to retrieve information and do this mapping, with the already stored so much of other information. So therefore, apperception would be another very good translation for sanya, where it denotes among so much of other stored information. So we are kind of selecting what is most appropriate for the time being. So there is a component of memory, therefore, practically involved. And on the other hand, certain other commentaries like Attasalini mention sanya as a making a sign as a condition for noting again. Now the sanya, the very basic term sanya, actually has a relation with the sign. So we take signs. Actually, sometimes another Pali term is used as nimitta, certain signs being used to store in the mind whenever we see something. Say if you are seeing someone and if you have a kind of a discussion with him or her, so there may be certain information that's being stored in the mind based on the figure that you have seen, whether what is his or her hairstyle, maybe the eyes, maybe various other body shape, etc. etc. So much of information we store, and those are actually the signs which actually later we use to map during at a later occasion. Therefore, making a sign as a condition for noting again. So according to this description, as Jnanapornika Thera high pointing out, so remembering is a function of sanya. And then again, there are certain other areas that we need to look into, because there is a certain amount of involvement with the sati, mindfulness, as well to memory. It is not merely sanya, but there's a fair contribution coming from mindfulness as well, sati as well. Now, if you consider the information given in the this Pathama Vibhanga Sutta, which is coming in the Indriya Samyutta, where Buddha mentioned about what exactly is the faculty of mindfulness, sati indriya. Katamancha bhikkave sati indriyam. Ida bhikkave arya savako satima hoti paramena sati nepakkena samannagato chira kathampi chira bhasitampi sarita anusarita. Idang ucchati bhikkave sati indriyam. Now, what it means is that what is the faculty of mindfulness? So there is a noble disciple. So he has this nipaka sati, that we can say very precise mindfulness. With that samannagato, with that chira kathampi chira bhasitampi sarita anusarita. So whatever he has done, chira kathampi, whatever he has mentioned long time ago, he can sarita anusarita, he can recollect, he can remember. So that means if one has very good mindfulness, so whatever the thing he has done, whatever the thing he has mentioned, heard, so all that information, even though it has gone long time, he can quickly remember. So therefore, it is the faculty of mindfulness. So you can see there is a significant influence coming from mindfulness as well for the precision or the amount of memory that we are storing. It is not merely sanya, but mindfulness also play a very important role. And then there's another sutta called Samadhi Sutta, available in Anguttara Nikaya. So there Buddha actually mentioned completely different point here. Sabandhim bhikkave bhaveta appamanam nipaka patissata. Now Buddha mentioned that you may develop concentration with mindfulness And if you have that kind of proper concentration developed with proper mindfulness, there are five types of wisdom, five kinds of knowledge are going to have. Pancha jnanani pacchattanyeva uppajjanti. There are five types of knowledge in this very life you are going to have. Katamani pancha, what are those five? Ayam samadhin pachupanna sukho, cheva ayatincha sukhoipakoti pacchattanyeva jnanam uppajjanti. Now you are going through some kind of samadhi concentration, and you very well know it has a, at this very moment there is a very pleasant abiding. It is a pleasant abiding that you are experiencing right now. That is quite evident. That is one knowledge that one has. Ayam samadhi ariyo niramiso. So that is the other knowledge, that this is not something that the mind is concentrated on based on the thing that you are seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling. Rather, this is something niramisa. This is kind of an unworldly kind of samadhi. It is not that your mind is focused on one mundane object and your mind being locked there. So that would be a worldly kind of samadhi. But here, mind is fairly liberated, we can say. Fairly freed. And as a result of that, it is a niramisa. It is unworldly kind of feeling is there. It is beyond the world. And then ayan samadhi akapurisa sevito pachattanyeva jnanam uppadhyati. Now this kind of samadhi concentration cannot be experienced by a asappurisa, by a say a worldling who is doing wrong things. Ayan samadhi santo panito patipassaddha laddo ekodi bhavadigato na sasankara ningaihya varitavoto. So that is another very strong information, that this particular samadhi concentration is santo, quite peaceful, panito, sublime, patipassaddha laddo, so all the defilements are calmed down, ekodi bhavadigato, so the mind is well concentrated, na sasankara niggaihya varitavato. Now the samadhi at that moment is not something that you are experiencing by suppressing all the thoughts. Rather, thoughts are already ceased, naturally ceased. So it would be a very natural concentration, very comfortable concentration. You may feel at ease at that time. It is not that you are effortfully suppressing the defilements. Rather, all the thoughts, all the defilements, all the mental proliferations are all completely ceased. Naturally seized, and you are very comfortably, naturally, very much like effortlessly you are experiencing this samadhi. Satoko panahang imang samapajjami sato buttaham. Now knowingly, mindfully, you are going into that concentration, and mindfully you are coming out of that concentration. So mindfulness is there. So therefore, this also has some kind of indication. So one has to have nipaka patissata, appamanang nipaka patissata. So the mindfulness is there. It has a component coming from wisdom, and also fair amount of concentration is all there. And then one has kind of a feeling about, five types of knowledges about this particular samadhi. So this sutta indicates that sati, mindfulness, has some relevance to the concentration as well, and again has a fair contribution coming from wisdom as well. So what I want to highlight here is it is not again a mere mindfulness. It is not the very very primary or very raw kind of mindfulness, initial kind of mindfulness, but a nipaka mindfulness, a mindfulness fairly coupled with clear comprehension, coupled with wisdom. It's a kind of a seasoned mindfulness, we can say. And on the other hand, There is another sutta. This sanya and the wholesome activity of the mind has one relationship, and the wrong sanya and unwholesome activity of the mind has another relationship. So therefore, whenever we are based on certain sanya which is unwholesome, so at that moment we are taking wrong sanya or perverted sanya, perverted signs based on our subjective experience. So therefore, what we are experiencing is not exactly what we see, hear, taste, etc. Rather, a kind of a defiled sanya, deformed sanya. On the other hand, when our that apperception, when we do this cognition through our faculties, if we are properly putting mindfulness into the picture, then there's a fair chance that we are taking the proper sanya. So ignorantly, unmindfully, carelessly, if we are using our faculties, a kind of a perverted kind of sanya going to be stored. That's what we are going to recognize. But on the other hand, if we are having proper mindfulness, then it helps to have proper sanya, correct signs. That is another point that we can highlight here. In this case, the notion of sati and sanya seem to be interchangeable. So there are, in this sutta, Buddha mentioned anicchanu passi viharati anicca sanyi, anicca patisangvedi. So anicchanu passi means that one is seeing the impermanent behavior of something, some kind of phenomena. So there it is referred as anicchanu, anicca sanyi. So it's a sign of impermanence. So therefore, in this particular sutta, the terms sanyi and anupassi have used interchangeably. So they seems to have some similar meaning. The implication is that sati is a decisive factor of in the proper functioning of sanya, and the practice of sati consists in correct and wholesome cognition, a perfect and undistorted form of sanya. Sati has to be developed so as to steer sanya and rectify the defects in cognition. This point will be elucidated according to the earlier texts. Now, if we have proper mindfulness, then we may get a proper sanya, correct sanya. If we are not mindful, then we might take wrong sanya, perverted sanya, distorted sanya. So, and there's another interesting point coming through certain other suttas. Sanya virattasana santi gantha. So I think this I already discussed. Where if one has some kind of detached attitude, detached mood towards sanya, then his mind may not get entangled into various defilements. So that's another side of the sanya, so that what is the kind of attitude we have? It is not just a dry kind of experience here, rather through wisdom, through vipassana, that one is developing kind of a viraga sanya, kind of a attitude of dispassion. So with that kind of a mentality, if one is experiencing various sanya, so you are not giving much value to those sanya, value to those signs. Therefore, those signs may not store in the mind viciously or wrongly. As a result of that, and you are not cognizing them wrongly, as a result of that, there's a the possibility of having perverted sanya, wrong sanya, and the possibility of having various defilements are being inhibited. So those perverted sanyas may not happen. In other terms, your mind maintain its purity without getting defiled. And there is another area that we need to look into, that is related to the papancha, with respect to what you call proliferation, mental proliferation. So mental proliferation also has a fair relationship with sanya. Sanya nidana hipa pancha sankha. If you can remember during our last discussion, I have used that verse to explain the properties of the mind, which is fairly liberated, fairly freed. So Buddha explained that with na sanya sanyi, na visanya sanyi, no pi asanyi, na vibhuta sanyi, evan sametasya vibhuti rupang sanya nidana hipa pancha sankha. So the last statement, sanya nidana hipa pancha sankha, indicates that sanya, these signs, these apperceptions, are the root cause for mental proliferation. On the other hand, if we consider how to eradicate mental proliferation, so there is an interesting verse available in the Tuataka Sutta. Buddha mentioned, Mulam papancha sankhaya manta asmiti sabbang uparundhi yakachi tanha ajjattang tasang vinaya sada sato sikhi. Now this is an entire practice of a noble disciple. So what he does, that he is trying to eradicate the very root of papancha sankha, very root of all the proliferations. And here, rather than Buddha mentioning very root of all the papancha sankha as sanya, as signs, here Buddha has gone even deeper, and he mentioned the conceit I am, asmiti. Asmiti is the asmimana, a very subtle notion of I component, very subtle component of I existence, available in every one of us. So till we become sarahant, so this asmimana is available. So based on that root cause, that we are always doing some kind of a measurement, some kind of a proliferation, some kind of a thinking. So therefore it can be considered as a central point of all the thinking process, all the mental conceptual process, conceptual proliferation. So therefore Buddha mentioned, Mulam papancha sankhaya manta sabbang uparunde. So this the very root cause of the papancha sankha is the asmi, asmiti, and manta means that with wisdom you are trying to avoid that. So in other terms, what Buddha mentioned here is you are trying to eliminate eye making and mind making and the conceit, ahankara, mamankara, mananuse. So these are another way Buddha mentioned in certain other suttas. So you are taking care of avoiding eye making. You are taking care of minimizing eye making or mind making or doing some sort of a conceit. So therefore it is mentioned, so these are the verses available in that sutta related to that question. Pucchamitam adiccha bandung vivekam santi padancha mahesin kathang disva nibbati bhikkhu anupadiyano lokasmin kinchi. So someone is asking, so I am asking from you, Venerable Sir, so how one may, seeing what one is completely avoid any kind of a grasping and completely calm down, completely attain Nibbana. So that is where Buddha give the answer. Mulam papancha sankhaya manta asmiti sabbang uparunde yakaji tanha ajjattang tasang vinaya sada sato sikhe. By reflection he should stop the conceit I am. By reflection, that means you have to be vigilant, you have to be mindful. Whenever the conceit I am happens, which is the root cause of entire proliferation, and you are trying to check it, you are trying to stop it, you are trying to avoid it. And further Buddha mentioned that the rest of the patipada, rest of the practice, that is yakachi tanha jattam, whatever the internal craving that one has, tasang vinaya sada sato sikki. So in order to minimize that, in order to calm down that, in order to remove that, that you are constantly being mindful. On other terms, not only the conceit I am, but also whatever the cravings happening internally that you have to minimize, you have to be aware of, and you have to eliminate them. So so these are certain things that we can recognize. So what happens to these sannya when we consider an arahant? So what would be the proper way of dealing with sannya? So that's another interesting point that we can discuss here. Now, are the arahants can't take any sannya? Aren't they recognized people? Or do they have an entirely different kind of a language? Are they communicating using that language? Aren't they aware of all the worldly conventions? So this is another area that we need to look into. So as we discussed last time, I think I already mentioned this. So there is a question. So what would be the arahant's behavior? Kīnāsavo antima deha dāhi ahaṁ vadanti iti piso vadeya mamaṁ vadanti iti piso vadeya loke samanya kusalo viditva vohara mattena so vohareya. This is another interesting verse coming in the Arahanta Sutta. So someone is asking, what would be the way of linguistic behavior of a arahant? So at that time Buddha mentioned, so the person, the arahant, kīnāsavo antima deha dāhi, the person who is completely uprooted all the defilements, fetters, and he is holding in the last birth, ahaṁ vadanti iti piso vadeya, and he also refers that I have mentioned something, I have preached something, I have told something. So he is using the term I, the kind of mundane, the typical vocabulary, typical way of reference, typical way of talking. Mamang vadanti iti piso vadeya. And he also mentioned, okay, he told me this, he told me that, she told me this, she told me that. So likewise also he refer, he also use. Now then on the other hand, then how are we distinguish? So it's very much like the same worldly language that the arahants also use. But the interesting point is, loke samanya kusalo viditva voharamattena so vohareya. So Buddha mentioned, so he clearly understood, very well understood, the worldly convention, worldly language as worldly language, worldly words, letters, phrases, say languages, stories, merely as this is a worldly language, worldly way of communication. That's it. Nothing other than that. Loke samanya kusalo viditva vohara mattena so vohareya. So he is also using that language, all those terminology, just for the reference, just for the communication. That's it. He is not strongly taking that there is some kind of a substantial thing in it, very important thing in it. Other than that, he understands, so this is merely a convention. This is a very easy reference. This is a very easy way of communication. That's all. It's a kind of a tool. Other than that, there is no any essence. So therefore, how an arahant use language has a significant difference internally how he is perceiving it. So he may also use various sannya, various perceptions, various languages, terms, phrases, idioms, whatever it is, but knowing it is merely a convention, it is merely a language, it is merely an idiom, it is merely a phrase. But on the other hand, when we are using a language, so we take it strongly, we hold it strongly, we have certain likes and dislikes, and whatever the things referred by those terms, languages, so we take as something substantial, something important, there is something in it, there is a core in it. So likewise, we are actually strongly holding. So that's the difference. Arahant doesn't strongly hold, he doesn't wrongly perceive, he doesn't go into it thinking that there is something important inside it. Rather, he simply knows that this is merely a convention. So this is the proper way of behavior the arahants is doing. Tassida ditteva sute muteva pakappita natti anupi sanya. Tam brahmanam ditta manadiyanam kena idha lokasmin vikappayeya. Not even a subtle notion is formulated by him about what is seen, heard or sensed here. How could anyone here in the world categorize him, that Brahmin who does not cling to any view? So, in the proper cognitive process, therefore, in other terms, in an Arahant's cognitive process, Sanya will not lead to Papancha Sankha. So that's the important thing. So, he too recognize, he too see things, hear things, taste things, smell things, and through the body cognize things, and maybe thoughts come into the mind that also cognized. But the interesting point is, it will not lead to Papancha Sanya Sankha. It will not lead to conceptual proliferation. So he know to how to stop. His mind does not go to overthinking, obsessive thinking. So here, an example is given here, describes a liberated person. Thus, by him, not even a minute sanya is conceptualized here with regard to what is seen, heard or thought of. That means, even though he see everything, even a subtle notion of what he has seen, even a subtle sign of what he has seen, does not take him to mental proliferation, does not lead him to conceptual proliferation. Even though he hears so many things, even the slightest thing does not take him to conceptual proliferation. Even though he may smell, taste, cognize things, even the slightest thing does not take him to conceptual proliferation. But taking signs still happen. Therefore, Arahanti is not the person who is completely avoiding any kind of sanya. He also may refer various sanya. He also may use sanya to recognize, because his sanya storage is still available, through which that he recognizes. Now suppose, for example, Venerable Sariputta approaching Venerable Anand. Venerable Sariputta is an Arahant, and Venerable Ananda is a Sotapan. Now assume, if we consider Venerable Sariputta's mind's behavior with respect to sanya, so Venerable Sariputta may recognize among so many other monks, okay, this is Venerable Ananda. So in order to precisely recognize Venerable Ananda, Venerable Sariputta has to take certain amount of sanya, the body shape, the complexion, his behavior, his way of his face recognition, and all these different important signs attributed or available to Venerable Ananda is something useful to Venerable Sariputta to recognize Venerable Ananda among other monks. So he also therefore recognized Venerable Ananda as Venerable Ananda. So he uses these sanya, he uses these signs, properly recognize Venerable Ananda, so that he is not misleading himself. He is not completely avoiding taking signs. He can take signs, using which he properly recognizes Venerable Ananda. But on the other hand, his mind remains calm. His mind remains still. The recognition of Venerable Ananda does not trigger mental proliferation inside Venerable Sariputta's mind. So, therefore, in this verse, it is mentioned. So whatever the thing that he may ditta sutta mutta pakappita, so natti anupi sanya, so whatever he see, whatever he hear, whatever he cognize, so none of these data, none of these information, none of these signs lead his mind to mental proliferation, but still some recognition continues, recognition happens. So, therefore, these are very subtle aspects of the sanya aggregate, the perception aggregate, and we can actually explore these things, which are very interesting, and again, give some deep insights into our behavior of the mind. So therefore, certain amount of memory is involved with the sanya. That is one thing that we can understand. On the other hand, when we are not mindful, the way that we are storing that, sorry, we are picking those sanya, we are picking those signs, and how we are storing those signs and ultimately retrieving those signs are fairly distorted, because mind is not properly mindful. So therefore, fairly distorted information being stored, distorted information being picked, and again distorted information being retrieved. So that is why the sanya vipallas, perversions are there. But when mindfulness is introduced to the picture, then fair amount of precision happens in the process. So you may properly pick the proper information, and proper data being stored, and proper information being retrieved. So I can't say that it's completely 100% pure, 100% precise, but kind of a corrective action is now introduced by mindfulness. And on the other hand, the next stage that we consider is the most developed level, that is the Arahant's mind. So he is still use various signs to do the recognition, and he do that mindfully, knowingly, but that picking up of signs or retrieving of signs does not lead his mind to conceptual proliferation, too much thinking, obsessive thinking. So that is the difference. So these are the very interesting points that I found around sanya khanda. Since so many people have asked what is the relevance between memory and sanya, so these are, it is, I mean, we can't say there is a say yes or no answer here. There is a relationship between sanya and memory, and also there is a relationship between memory and the mindfulness, sati. And sati has a fair contribution, a positive contribution towards picking signs, sanya. So therefore, if we are able to couple them together, then there's a corrective process going on. And ultimately, in the Arahant's mind, he still can do the recognition part. Sanyas are operating, signs are operating, but it doesn't lead to mental proliferation. So these are very interesting things that we can think of, and even we can discuss. And on the other hand, now if we come back to what we call the Kajjaniya Sutta. So Kajjaniya Sutta, the important point that Buddha highlights is that the knowing that this process, Buddha mentioned, that particular person dismantles and does not build up. So therefore, typically, whenever we see something, we store everything, we are trying to store everything, what is important, what is interesting. So this is a kind of a building up process. But on the other hand, this proper trainee, this proper disciple, he does not do this building up process, rather he is trying to dismantle. And on the other hand, he is trying to abandon, not to cling. Now typically we cling, we grasp, but here this person is trying to not to cling, not to grasp, rather to abandon. Scatters does not amass, so he is just scattering things, not piling up things. Extinguishes and does not kindle, so he basically does not allow his mind to get boiled, does not allow his mind to get kindled, burned with various defilements because of this cognition process, because of this recognition process. Rather, he is trying to somehow calm down, extinguish whatever the already arisen defilements. So these are the different, we can say, the practices different way of say behaviors that one is trying to incorporate in one's proper practice, proper patipada. So if we are practicing Noble Eightfold Path, if we are practicing Satipatthana, so this kind of a mechanism has to be properly newly introduced to our mind. So rather than clinging, he is starting to abandon. Rather than building up, he is now trying to dismantle. Rather than amassing, piling up, he is now trying to scatter. Rather than getting, say, boiled, kindled, burn, he is now trying to extinguish, calm down. Now this is the kind of a process will ultimately take us to a very calm mind, cool mind, not a burning mind. So the mind is, now the defilements are extinguished. No more burning happens. So he is in a very cool, feeling at ease, liberated, calm, no mental proliferation. So that kind of a mind. But still the potential is available to properly recognize based on the typical conventions. That's what I mentioned. Venerable Sariputta can properly recognize Venerable Ananda among other monks, because he is given the name Venerable Ananda, and there are so many other monks. Okay, he is Venerable Ananda. So Venerable Sariputta can recognize. So that faculty, that skill is available. But it doesn't lead to mental proliferation. So with that, I like to conclude today's sutta teaching session. I didn't cover a new khanda today. I didn't go to sankhara. Rather, this is a kind of an extension, we can say, towards the sanya khanda. So if you have any question with regard to what we have discussed today, you can raise your hand and you can contribute.
So you may raise your hand, or you can also send your questions through chat as well.
It seems that nobody is doing any thinking today. So everybody is free from proliferation.
Probably too much happening in the
too much
right
happening
now.
Or maybe overwhelmed yeah. by proliferation. Yeah.
So let me invite Upendra.
Upendra, yeah. Yes, yes.
Bhante, I just wanted to clear now, when you consider the mental proliferation, the last, proliferation, the last time when I was, I was in the discussion last week also, I just got this thing into my mind, when you were conducting that concept and the reality program, at that time I was just thinking, now we observe things through mindfulness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then what is that mindfulness then? So I just wanted to take a step back and just observe while that discussion was going on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that mindfulness is also some kind of a quantum sort of energy sort of a thing. It is like a cloud with just, you know, sort of energy that detects what is happening. And then it just, there's no formation. It just, like waves, it just goes and, detect what it is and it just goes off.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes off. And there's inside that, there's emptiness and there's no shape in it.
Mm-hmm.
So then again, I took another step back and just observed while that discussion was going on that day. So I felt like we are just clinging on to something, you know, something like we are just grabbing to ourselves, like by something hidden there, clinging on likewise. So, so that now, according to today's discussion, that sanya means actually now, are we going to stop from that level? Or I mean, just only the observation level, are we going to stop? And I just wanted to clarify whether that observation is also clear, Bhante.
Observation also clear.
Whether it's correct or not, whether it is just, my mind is trying to play games with me.
So that's why, I mean, as we discussed even today, so this observation process is fairly colored, fairly conditioned based on our preconceived ideas, our likes and dislikes, our defilements, whenever we are fairly unmindful. So unmindfully, we are simply picking the signs, we are picking the surface values, and so therefore it is not the proper, pure, correct information we are picking, rather a colored information based on our likes and dislikes. So therefore it's a kind of a subjective experience that we are going through, and that is what we are storing also, and ultimately whenever we are retrieving, that is also had fairly influenced by our likes and dislikes. So therefore we can't say the exact information that we have saved is what exactly later time that we are retrieving. Now on the other hand, now say for example, if you consider the computer, suppose that we are storing some data in our hard drive, and after some time we are retrieving that. So it is very sure that the same information that we are retrieving. But our memory is not like that. Our memory go through some kind of a changing process. So, and it is not the after we store some data, we completely become a zombie kind of a person, completely inactive, and later we retrieve that same information. Rather, when this information is already stored, we continue to live, we continue to experience so many other things. So what we have stored has greatly influenced by the future experiences and our future perceptions, our future other activities. And later time when we are trying to retrieve what we have stored, so it is not the same thing that we are retrieving. It has fairly influenced, fairly colored by the later experiences as well. So therefore, it is not a very straightforward process like we are storing some data on a hard disk and later retrieving that as it is. It is not that straightforward, which is when we consider our memory process, our say human memory process, or and the being's animal memory process. It has so many other complexities, and on the other hand, as you mentioned, when we continue our practice, so seeing is just seeing, hearing is just hearing, and say cognition is just cognition. So this is a very very popular statement available in the Bahya Sutta. Ditte dittamattam bhavissati, sute sutamattam bhavissati, mute mutamattam bhavissati, vinyate vinyatamattam bhavissati. Ditte dittamattam bhavissati. So you are seeing things, that's it. You are not going to any further thinking. Say, sute sutamattam bhavissati, you hear something, but your mind maintain its clarity, it maintain its stillness, does not go to any kind of thinking, any kind of mental proliferation. Mute mutamattam bhavissati. Whatever you taste, whatever you smell, whatever you experience through the body, any of those are just it. That's it. Doesn't lead to any kind of thinking, doesn't lead to any kind of mental proliferation or overthinking. But you are able to... Sorry? You are able to make...
Okay,
yeah. So you... Yeah. Continue. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay. But usually sometimes I feel like I overthink.
Mm-hmm.
And there sometimes I just look into it and then I get into that sort of a deep sort of concentration where I don't feel like now I'm here. Like I am just trying to grab into that concentration.
Uh-huh.
Then I start again observing. And one, usually I look into mine, usually. I was used to for my little small days onwards. So one day when I was actually not practicing that much during the past week. So suddenly in the morning around 3 a.m. I woke up and I felt like, you know, my I was just observing because I had time in the morning. So I was observing my body at that time and mind was so clear.
Mm-hmm.
Then I felt like my mind is clear now, and I felt like kind of clear comprehension is going on in the mind. So I just looked into the mind and I suddenly felt like my head is now again opening up, and it's like a hurricane from the head. You know, it's just still I'm lying down, and but my section is kind of open, and there's kind of a hurry, like a some kind of a hurricane sort of thing is going around. and particles going here and there. Likewise, and when there was some mental preparation going on, I felt like I am going, kind of breathing, and I am just going into that thought again. Likewise, but I stop doing it, I get relaxed.
Yeah. Now this is actually, this is kind of a meditative experience. So when we are developing mindfulness, so slowly the concentration also develops, then ultimately mind get lean onto some kind of an object and mind get concentrated. So at that time, say we being absorbed to that experience. So it is very much like we are now losing our delicate balance, mindful balance. Rather, now we are absorbed onto some kind of an experience, and now that experience take over. That absorption takes over, and you feel little burden. You feel little stressed, little tensed. But on the other hand, when you are coming out of it and just maintain a very quiet, very calm, very relaxed kind of experience, you feel more comfortable. You feel at ease, you feel at grounded. So therefore, that's why you see that even we today discuss that the five kinds of knowledges, Buddha mentioned about the proper samadhi. So the proper samadhi doesn't have that kind of a absorption type of thing, that kind of a very extreme kind of a concentration. Rather, it's a very relaxed experience. So you are not forcefully maintaining the mind onto one object. You are not forcefully maintaining the mind without allowing it to lean onto anything. Rather, mind itself is doing it. Mind doesn't want to lean onto anything. Mind doesn't want to latch onto anything. Mind doesn't want to involve with anything. Mind doesn't want to attach to anything. Rather, it maintains its own independence. So it is more comfortable, more at ease. It happens effortlessly. So that is why the term nasasankara nigaihe varitavatu. So you are not forcefully keeping the mind stable, rather mind itself is maintaining that stability. That is more comfortable, more natural, more easy, or more effortless. So that is the direction that we need to move. So when we are continuing our practice, so there are situations that mind get into the absorption, get into some kind of attachment, and that leads to some stress, some kind of a strong attachment, absorption, but generate some kind of a stress, tension. Rather, if we are able to maintain a very delicate balance, very comfortable, but not too much in the depth, rather in a very mundane, not really mundane, kind of very surface level, shallow level, but quite comfortable. No, but important thing is no mental proliferation. So what I am telling is not easy. Even though it appear like easy, it is not easy. It's very difficult because our defilements are constantly triggering thoughts into the picture, so that we being distracted. But if fair amount of defilements are subsided, no hindrances are in action, no fetters are in action, then it's naturally calm. You don't need to do anything. It's naturally calm. So that is what happens in the emptiness proper. I mean, say if you are going through proper practice, proper vipassana. Suppose you are experiencing emptiness, experiencing signless concentration, or desireless concentration. So that is the direction that we need to move towards. Yeah.
Yes. And when I was doing the walking meditation yesterday night, also I had this thing. When I start doing it, after first four or five steps, my mind goes out, and it just goes, and comprehension, and then it comes back. So I was observing this like a cycle. Then again, when I come back, I feel like whether I concentrated properly on the walking meditation like that, that doubt comes, but it's like a cycle, so it happens. But I felt like actually walking meditation that it is going on inside, and I'm actually having that mindfulness. And then at that time, where I just sometimes just let it be and just observe. And then sometimes I feel like there's kind of a dimming process going on, and I feel like I'm just going from away from my body. Those days, as I have mentioned earlier, at that time what I do is I just go out from my body and observe. Now, yesterday I felt like, shall I just wait and observe and just let it go out from the body and just let it be free? Or just then my mind says, now you have two options, stay with your body or you can go out and do it. Both ways, but when I go out, I feel relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I can observe, and I feel like my body is kind of it's not decaying, it just disappearing. But I feel like meditation is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
Yeah. So I think that's
kind of in an empty field.
Yeah.
And the body part is working.
Yeah. So the second approach is.
I feel like body is.
Yeah, the second approach is more appropriate, more correct, because whenever we develop mindfulness, so mind starts to dissociate, or mind starts to maintain kind of a separation, a distance from the experience. So that is more comfortable, because previously we are observing it too closely, very much like coupled with the experience, but later, because of this continuous observation process, slowly mind start to detach from the experience. There's a distance being generated from the experience, the phenomena, and the observing mind. So then it becomes more comfortable. So now you do a detached observation. So this detached observation is the is something that we need to promote. It's more comfortable. It is very much like kind of a passive observation.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So then it becomes more clear, and also, but sometimes I feel like I can go high above. I feel that kind of comfortability there. So, but I still just let it be and just wait there.
Right.
And when I get that sort of a feeling, sometimes the comprehension comes and that whole kind of state goes up. So
mm-hmm.
I have still trying not to do any comprehension during that time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm missing that opportunity. Like,
mm-hmm. No, this is. I mean, these are different.
And sometimes when I do it.
Yeah, these are different experiences of concentration.
Okay.
That sometimes you feel that you are very far away and doing the observation. Sometimes you feel you are very close and doing the observation, and sometimes you feel that your body has become very tiny and you do the observation. Sometimes you feel that your body has become quite expanded and you do the observation. Now, these are different perceptions that comes through during our meditation, and these things will vary. You just need to continue the practice, and these things are changing, evolving. And it becomes more and more natural in the latter times. Now all these differences become less and less. Ultimately it becomes very natural, very comfortable, and nothing special like. There are no any kind of differences, as we say. It's a very kind of a natural, very relaxed, ordinary kind of experience is what we are in the long run going to happen. Okay.
Thank you very much, Bhante,
okay.
For
yeah.
your time.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
Thiruvan Sarnai.
Yeah, Thiruvan Sarnai.
Hey, thank you. I'd like to invite Chita Devi for the next question.
Thank you. For now, Bhante, you spoke in length about Sanya.
Yeah.
And then you said that it plays a part in the storage of the sign, and I'm assuming that is part of the happenings and recognitions, and then you also spoke about mindfulness, but you didn't speak about anything about consciousness. I was under the impression that consciousness is the one that plays a big part in bringing these things out and playing a big part in mental proliferation and things like that. So can you just clarify that point, please?
Yeah, actually today I only stayed in the sanya level. But we have to cover about sankhara, the mental formations, and again we need to cover consciousness as well, the vijnana. So I am keeping some time for that, because these two are also very interesting topics, and we can discuss them deeply So therefore, I didn't put any much of information coming from the say sankharas and coming from the consciousness vijnana. So we'll discuss them in depth in the later sessions, the future sessions.
Yes, Master.
Yeah.
So my understanding is, and just you can just answer it in a sentence that the consciousness is the thing that really brings out all these memories, and though the sanya has put its input, consciousness is what brings this out, and it's like this magician tricks us. Would that be right?
Yeah, correct. So that is why, I mean, the consciousness also play a big role, and so it is the one ultimately telling, okay, there is a man here, there is a woman here, there is a child here. Now, I mean, before that, there are so much of other little components are being used, coming from the sanya, coming from sankhara, and etc., and feelings, etc. And the taking these together, now consciousness will tell, okay, there is this, there is him, there is he, there is so and so. So therefore, where there is nothing, so consciousness is telling there is something. So where there is no self, consciousness will tell us there is a self, there is a person, there is an individual. So that is where it appears like a magician. So magician always cheating us. Magician may show a pigeon or flowers or various different things. I mean, he's cheating us, and using various tricks that he is trying to show something which is not available. So therefore, that kind of... Go ahead.
No, you tell that, Bhaktir. Sorry.
No problem. No. So therefore, I mean, consciousness therefore play a very, I mean, important role. So it is the one assembling all these other components and ultimately giving us a very interesting picture and telling this is so and so. Yeah.
Yeah, because actually the sanya is only recognizes, no? It recognizes what it is in a, I believe you said, in a sort of very simple way, but it's everything else that comes in, like the sanya, sankara, vijnana, all of that, all gets together and then forms this picture, and all then the mental proliferation also goes on.
Yes.
Would that be right?
Yes. So actually, these five aggregates are working in harmony, working together.
All together.
At a given moment, they all are contributing to the picture. So therefore.
Because feelings of the.
Yeah, that is also there. That is also there. So
yeah,
I mean.
Then all these things come together because I feel that the perception and feelings perception is working before feelings, I think. I don't know, though it doesn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you perceive something, then only the feeling comes in my mind. But I don't know whether that I'm thinking wrong. But you have to perceive something to feel, no, Bhante?
Yeah, no, and the thing is, the opposite is mentioned in the Madhupindika Sutta. Young vedeti tang sanjanati. So there the terms comes differently, that I mean whatever you feel now, you are trying to recognize. So I mean, now the thing is, even though we are telling like this, there are no seconds happen here, there are no minutes happen here. I mean, everything happens momentarily.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter, everything happens
together.
Yes. Then the conscious is pulling it out and making us tricking us and
exactly.
So forth. And it's very interesting, as you said. So, but of course, you have, for teaching purposes, you have to take each one separately and
exactly.
explain. So that's fine. Yes, but the fact of the matter is, they all come together and they all go together also.
Yes,
and they disappear also to explain away.
Yes,
that's right, Bhante.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bhante.
Okay. So actually, it's a very interesting discussion and thought-provoking process, because I mean, these are some subtle aspects. I mean, say we can say kind of Buddhist psychology is giving us very interesting area, and we can closely observe our mind, how things are operating, how we being sometimes deceived. So more we understand about these kind of processes, we can minimize mental proliferation and we can maintain mindfulness. We can develop insights. So that is the main purpose. And that is why we are trying to learn this about these five aggregates. So that's why it is mentioned that if one has a very deep understanding about five aggregates, then I mean they lose their strength. So they lose their potential to deceive us, to cheat us. So they no more consume us, they no more devour us. So as you know in the Kajjaniya Sutta, so the main theme that Buddha highlights is that each and every aggregate is trying to eat us, trying to consume us, trying to occupy the mind. But on the other hand, when we are developing insight, so that occupation has to reduce. So the mind has to slowly liberate, slowly become independent, free from the influence of these aggregates. So aggregates, the consumption happen from the aggregate side, their contribution part has to become less and less. So the mind become fairly independent, fairly free, and it becomes unestablished, non-attached. So these are the areas that we can properly understand by closely analyzing these suttas.
Yes. Thank you,
Bhante. Yeah, okay. I think that's all for the questions. I like to wind up the session now if there are no other questions. So today also we have discussed Kajjaniya Sutta and some aspects, further aspects of Sanya. So with that we were able to accumulate some merits. So we share these merits with all the past living relatives, all the celestial beings and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, Nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavata chamhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata chamhehi sambhataṁ punya sampadaṁ sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chirang rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyatinam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.